Well, welcome, everyone. Welcome, guests. We're so happy to have you. And also on our brethren who are watching online, good morning. We hope you're hoping your day is well. And for those of you who are new, I just need to share with you one moment that I only do this about once a year. So if this is something that says, please let somebody else speak next time, I apologize. I'll do my best, but it's the Lord's word. But I just wanted to open in prayer. So, Lord, we come here to praise you, to glorify you, because this is the day that we come to praise the Lord, the one true God, the one that our brother Mike spoke about, that he gave his life that we may have life. He suffered for us, for sinners who did not know him. He loved us before he knew us, before we were even born. So, Lord, we come here with hearts of thanksgiving. We pray that you open our hearts this day, that you show us what you have in store for us, what you want us to be doing as the Father would be showing you, precious Jesus. So we're here for you this morning. Hear our words, we pray, that we may be found righteous and holy before you, Lord. Change our lives. Move us closer to you. Help us to love you more that we may love others. Lord, thank you for this day and all your provision. And this we pray in Jesus' name. So again, welcome everyone. Thank you. Good to see old faces or faces that I've known a long time. I'm the only one that's old here. But this is a slight shift. I was here yesterday for the memorial service for Greg's mom. And the reason I bring it up was it was a celebration of life. As Daryl said, this is not something where we spend time in a funeral home. This is a time where we celebrate a life that lived for the Lord, that touched lives, that went out and made a difference, that said, I will take of my time and I will spend it loving someone else, some other people's children, someone else that needs a help, someone that I can help counsel. And I say that because we're going to talk about missions today. In many regards, what is missions? And we'll get to that later. But so much of missions is based on love. I had a brother who, coming out of a life of an atheist and at 50 found the Lord and would go out on the street and speak. And he said, without the love of Christ in me overflowing, I could not reach out to these people. So that's why the prayer is, Lord, fill us so much with your love that we have enough to reach out to anyone, to people that perhaps don't quite match up with our own personalities. And a little bit of a touch on prickly people later. So I want to stay on prayer for a moment, or on love for a moment. If you look, at least some of the information you have says there's over 60 scriptures that speak of love. Excuse me. And in John 15, 12 to 13, it says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, Jesus did it for us. And perhaps that's our cross. You know, would we have to do that? Could you put up the first scripture reading, Kathy? It's from Romans 12. God's will for our lives. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So the sacrifice is the worship to the Lord. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So I pray that as we go through our time, through our life, that this renewing of the word will be there daily, that it will touch our spirit, that it will come in those difficult, in amidst the difficulties, and say, Lord is here for us. And I don't have this on the slide, but Malachi 3:16 just touched me so deeply a couple weeks ago. And I'm going to paraphrase, but essentially it said, the Lord's people that feared God talked together and spoke to the Lord. And here's the important part. He listened and he heard. So when we talk together, when we pray together, God hears us. His word said so. We don't have to question it. His word is truth. So we know that when we talk together, he hears us. But then it continues on. And this one also caught my attention. It said, then it's written in a scroll of remembrance. Just let that sink in for a minute. And that's why I mentioned Greg's mom, that yesterday there was discussion of that scroll of remembrance, what her life meant to people, how she touched people, and how that goes to how we can touch people. I just, in a moment of just saying, here's where I've been. It was maybe a couple years ago, and these things can happen in very unusual places. I'm just pulled into the garage, and I'm sitting there. And all of a sudden, the thought comes that said, I have fewer years left ahead of me than I do behind me. Now, most of you are not in that same position. You got a lot more years ahead of you. I've just reached the point that says, here's a realization that says, what are you going to do? What is your life going to be like? What will be on that scroll of remembrance for your life? Not did I earn $20 million, not that I became a billionaire, not that I had this high office. It's what did we do to touch a life? So as we just continue to look at how the Lord is moving us, we get wrapped up in our needs and our issues. And we just heard now, we have a couple brothers who are going through things. They have needs. Right now, it wouldn't be surprising that their mind is more, I'm not doing well, I'm sick, I'm in the hospital. All of these things are going on. And their mind may not be connected directly to the Lord right now. But that's why we're here, to be able to pray for them. We heard of a sister yesterday that had some terrible news in terms of health. And they're devastated. How do we come about reaching out to them? Somebody just said in regard to that, sometimes it's nothing more than just being there and listening. The reference was to Job. It went very well with his friends when they said nothing. It went downhill when they opened their mouth and started talking. So I think there's another example that I've been told a couple times, and I think they were trying to make a point for me. I have two ears and one mouth. Keep the proportion in mind. So we are blessed, and in Luke it talks about we're here, and the Lord takes care of the birds of the air and the flowers in the field. They don't work, they don't labor, but look at the beauty he has bestowed on them and what they do. And somewhere I heard this yesterday. They said that there were two birds, a robin and a sparrow, and the robin said, boy, look at how beautifully arrayed we are. And these humans are running around so busy, so distraught. What's wrong with them? And the sparrow says, I guess they don't know their God. Fairly simple thing, but how often do we find ourselves running around trying to solve problems when we need to go to God? Next slide, please. So as we look at this, Lord, where are you heading us? And I will get to missions, absolutely. But in John 5:19, therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, those things the Son also does in like manner. Are we looking at that daily? Lord, where do you want us to put our hand? Who do we talk to? Can we encourage someone today? Is there someone who is experiencing an illness? Something that's happened within their family? A breakdown of the family? Schooling issues? And saying, Lord, where should I be in that place? And then going on to Romans 12:10-13. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. And I just wanted to take the actual definition. It's the intensity of feeling or expression. Now, once again, a little bit of sharing with you. I've told people that over my lifetime, my emotional scale is from about here to here. There's not so much on the high end, not that much on the low end, but it's this narrow scale. So if you don't see high levels of emotion as I speak and I'm talking to you, please understand that this is my set and how I operate. But one of these days, something will happen, and the Lord will make sure I'm standing up and being very emotional for him. Continuing on, spiritual fervor, serving the Lord, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, which is so critical. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. It's prayer. It's serving. This is what our call is. So, as we talk about serving, we're going to talk about missions. Missionaries. Okay, remember, this is a New England church, but I'd ask you to be a little bit Southern or a little bit Brazilian because I want to hear from you. So when you think of a missionary, what's the definition that comes to mind? You can speak up. It's okay. Lord said it's fine.
Somebody who's focused on an agenda directed by God to help others.
Mm-hmm. World traveler.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Selfless giving of oneself.
Okay. And that's true. If you look at the definition, it clearly is someone who is devoted to work in a foreign field, typically. But that's what the dictionary says. That's not what God says. Missionary work is supposed to be our daily lives. Touching other people, being concerned with other people. So not only should we be, but you know what the command is. You know what Matthew 28 says. Go. Pretty simple. Go into all the nations. Now, for some, it is not all the nations. Much of it is right here, starting with our own family. So now we're going to just touch on some of those areas that we are going to work on because... Consider, the Lord sent 72 to go out to all the villages. Have you ever stopped to think about what the 72, the people, what they were like, what they were composed of? So remember, this is, the Lord's only been out teaching and preaching for a few years at that point. Don't hold me to numbers. This is an approximation. He sends 72 out. And he gives them power and says, go out into these missions. Don't take anything with you. No shoes, no money, no. Just go. Okay, brethren. If the Lord said, go here, go there, would you stop and ask questions first? Or would you say, yes and amen, I'll go? So I'm thinking, and these people, they had no great training. They did not go to a missionary school. This was well before mission. They had some amount of time with Jesus, probably very little. They're being sent out with no money, no extra clothes, to be able to speak to people, to share Jesus Christ with them. And I had to say, Lord, would I be prepared to go under those conditions? How many, most of you probably traveled. How many suitcases do you take with you? And I'm not gonna go any deeper. You know how many suitcases you took. But we have just reached the point where we need all of these things, and the Lord's saying, I'll provide. So if the Lord provided for the 72, would he not provide for us? And here's one other part that really has been heavy on my heart. He said, go and heal. He gave them power. Go and cast out demons. These are 72, as far as I could see, very basic people. And he gave them power. Where are we today? What's happened? Is it faith? Is it we have a mind that said, well, that was then, this is now? But hope that, and this will start here, that we all begin to pray, Lord, you sent 72 out. Please prepare us to know their power. Not for self-worth, not to be able to say, look at what I've done, because you can look at Christian healers, and unfortunately you've seen a number that have fallen because it was, look what I've done. No, this is what the Lord can do. So missions goes beyond ambassadors, beyond people that go out on the line and do the work daily. And they have some tough times. We've spoken to some missionaries, and I'm sure you have as well. This is arduous. This is work that they have to do. So let's talk about what has happened here. Let's reflect on a larger picture at River of Life. So in the January 23rd family meeting, how many people were here for that? We always present the financials, but one of the slides talked about how much of the income coming into this place was given to missions and benevolence. I should have had a slide for this, but 57% of what came into this body was used to support missions here in this area and in foreign countries. 57%. Now, this is not to pat ourselves on the back. This is not to say how good or how special we are. This is to recognize that it's God who provided this. It's the Lord who has said, if you will follow me, I will provide. So at this point, I have to slip into my historian role. For those of you that don't know, I've been here for 24 years. And this has always been a body that says, in fact, a few people are here because it said that, everyone plays. Everyone is part of what goes on in this body. And for those of you that are new and don't know, there is no salary on staff. There's no staff that has salary. This is purely a volunteer Church of God. So to be able to say 57% went out to help people in missions, that is an acknowledgement of what God can do if we're faithful. And I've said, and I fully believe that if we ever begin looking at, but we need money for a brand new stage or a $30,000 set of drums or whatever the case may be, very quickly, excuse me, that was no direct shot. I saw the looks back there. I had to come up with something, so please bear with me. But it is a case that this is what the Lord said I want you to do, because in around 2010, shortly after Daryl and family came, we began talking and said, we're going to agree to contribute at least 10% of what comes in to missions and to helps. So when you hear 57%, does that not reach your heart and say, my God, the Lord has done this. The Lord has made a difference in the life of this church, because we have gone through some trials, but he has brought us through them, and he has allowed us to be part of what's going on. So now let's finally get to the missions. Next slide, Kathy, please. I'm not going to talk about this, but does anyone recognize this, Meet Jesus? So I guess that part of the website does not get read. Oh, that's on our website. So as a bit of a challenge, when you go home or this week, go in, and one of the titles is Meet Jesus, and scroll down. And it says, this is what we should be doing. So I would encourage you just to read it, so that this is our life as we continue to work with the Lord. So what have we been doing? So next slide, please. So missions. I apologize for this being small, but so missions is a missions in Malawi and Mozambique that we've been supporting 6 years now? 5 years, 6 years? Maybe seven. And they come here annually to share with us. So it's in Africa. It's been destitute. The AIDS has wiped out generations of people. And in many cases, children are living with grandparents that have virtually no funds. So when we first met them, they had already been working 25 years at least. And they already had schools set up and were preparing to do a medical center. When we first met them, they were already up to about 600 students that they fed one meal a day, which often could be the only meal that those children received. In this latest slide, the schools now have 1,800. 1,800. There's five schools. Again, by the grace of God, by people supporting them. They also have established 125 churches over about 35 years, 125, by working with local people that they send out as leadership. They also have built 30 houses for these grandparents that have nothing. You want to know the cost of a house in Malawi, Mozambique? $2,500. So we look here and go, $2,500. I can barely get a shed from Lowe's at that price, and they build a house. They've also done a half dozen wells. We actually, one of our outreaches was to gather funds for building a well there. So they have fresh water, which means the disease then subsides. Next one. So there's two parts that are going on, and we'll be having discussions, but I ask you to pray about this. They already have the clinic. The clinic has been serving people. What they are seeing is that women that are pregnant have nowhere to go. And oftentimes results in death of the child or the death of the mother. So they want to expand it so that they have a portion of the clinic to assist mothers as they're going through labor, and then 6 beds for mothers to recover. So that's about $40,000, as you see. Next one. They want to expand the school so that they can begin training young men and women in various trades so they can go out and work. So there's 1,800 children that they're saying, we can provide a different way of life. We can give you some skills to be able to go out, but we're going to do it in a Christian, on a biblical basis. So this one is also $40,000. So we'll be talking about, are we a part of that? Because with these 6 or 7 years, we have been part of that missions. We've been able to send funds, again, by the grace of God, to be able to lift them up, to help them in these areas. And 2 years ago, we sent them funds for Christmas so that the children could have a full meal and a gift. How many of your teens, of our teens, would be happy with their parents if there was no gift at Christmas time? They had some gifts at least once, and hopefully more often. The next one is, you can leave that there. The next one to talk about is Ukraine. So my wife Cleo and I ended up going to Ukraine last year. I'm not going to talk about it in detail because we already did. And we just saw the impact on people that says, you would come out here. And we did have funds for them to help. But because of my wife's contact, and this is pretty interesting, to watch 2 ladies, one speaks Ukrainian, the other one is bilingual, trilingual, but not Ukrainian. They spent more time talking to each other and communicating than I could have ever imagined. I'm not quite certain how they did it, but I'm sure God had his way in it. They still communicate now, a year later, almost a year later. And we have, primarily through my wife, said we need to continue supporting them. So this is a group of ladies who get together, and they're mostly senior citizens. They prepare dried out soups to send to the soldiers, the military. The time we sat there with 2 bushels of potatoes, so roughly 100 pounds. Now, we had about 5 people. But I have to say, sitting there peeling potatoes for about 2 hours is not exactly high on my excitement level, and it's pretty low. But they do this every week. They do it with beets. They do it with carrots. They're making soups. They're making things that can support the troops. And as you may have heard,
it's 7 days a week. Happening nonstop. This is
I was just updated. It's 7 days a week that they work on preparing the food. Dedicated. Yes. Dedicated. It's missions. It's a heart to serve. And you've heard that the missiles have been for quite a while coming in and damaging the electrical infrastructure. So the price of electricity has gone up. So we've said, yes, we will support it. We have some other people coming alongside. So that continues because of a relationship. And so much of missions is creating relationships. Okay, now moving on to Brazil. So we've had the blessing to be able to spend time in Brazil. This year was very different due to circumstances. There wasn't specific missions work. However, just a couple points. We see so many people who are just selling candies and gum. And what they will do is you'll be stopped for the light. And they'll run along and they'll put a bag of candy on your mirror, maybe five cars deep. And then before the light is finished, either they'll sell some or they'll go pick everything up and start again. For the most part, they don't sell too much. Well, there's this one lady that we met. Now it's about 3 years at least. It's a Sunday service, so it's at night. So it's about 5 o'clock when we go by. She stands there with her basket with gum and candy to sell candy at this one stoplight. So we had a heart for her. There's something that I have a connection to older people. I'm not sure why. So we just stop, and my wife would talk with her. Malvina, just a sweet lady, probably, what would you say, 75, 80? And she's there every Sunday. So we're able to help and just talk with her. Now, it's not much, but it makes us feel good to say, at least we can do a little bit with this one lady. And maybe the Lord will lead us to something else. We also support, through the church, three little boys who have no mother, and to help them in school, to stay in school, because so many of these children do not end up going to school. There's no money in the house, so you can see children of 9 and 10 years old out on the street trying to sell candy. Here, let me help you. So they usually ask for 2 reais. That's equivalent to about 40 cents. So if they're selling a pack of candy at the equivalent of 40 cents, at least half of that is going to the cost, if not more. So they may get 20 cents. So let's say they're lucky that they send 10 bags, $2. What does $2 look like in our pocket? It's change. And yet they're working on it. So those are the type of things we do there. But I have to admit to you something that did happen. So they invited the two of us, my wife and I, to speak to a group. It was the old people's group. Go figure. You know, why would I be speaking to an old person's group? So the way they arranged this is they had an icebreaker initially. And the icebreaker was, here's a piece of paper. Write on this piece of paper something that is troubling you right now and you need prayer for. So we were dealing with, let me say, a prickly person. I don't know how you might deal with them. I'm sure it's just with grace and patience. I'm still asking the Lord for grace and patience. So I write out, I need this prayer over for this particular person that I'm dealing with. So you put it back in the basket, and then they mix it up, and they come back, and they say, okay, pick one out of the basket that you can pray for this person. So I pick mine up, and it's blank. Okay, either someone has no problems and they're perfect, or they've got issues that they don't want anyone to know. And this is before I started speaking. So now all of a sudden the realization comes along when I now have to speak. I'm going, wait a minute. I'm the only one who had written something in English. So whoever got it knew exactly who this was. Okay, let's at least admit it, and then I can get some prayer at that point. But I stopped to say that because it's how the Lord says, stop. You are not perfect. You have issues. And you know what? You're in a body of believers. They understand this because most have some issues. So just be open in these areas, and you can minister to each other. Because it doesn't take so much to be able to enter into a conversation. You find a point of commonality, and all of a sudden, it's like old friends. And I'm looking over here to say, oh, my goodness, where are you from? Where did you go to school? And very quickly, you go, we have some points in common. That begins the opening for relationship. That's what we're looking about for missions, to establish relationships, to be able to talk with people. I am not the fire and brimstone evangelist. My first wife probably was. But Mike talked about it today. That was an evangelist speak, Mike. That's what you were talking about, is just going out into these people and saying, if nothing else, you can share Jesus. And even if you never see them again, at least you expose them to that. So that's part of missions. Share, as was mentioned today. I would hazard to say that it probably brings us more joy to be there serving than some of the people who come. But I would encourage that, come, and many of you have, and sit down and talk with the old people, senior people. I'm sorry, I don't want to be unkind toward them. I'm one of them. But they come out to this meeting for companionship, because they can't get out quite often. So this is another area of missions here. Coats for Kids. We've been doing that over 20 years. Consistency. Again, the Lord has provided that. When things were tough, probably around 2008, we were handing out over 300 coats. Brand new. Brand new. And at that time, we would go out to various places where they had sales. So we were up in Maine to the mall or the outlets, and here at the outlets. And on one occasion, I had picked up coats at the old Macy's, the one that they tore down in Bedford. And I think I had about 100 coats. And this lady, the lady who's working there, is helping me walk out with the coats. And she says, what are you going to do with these coats? Are you going to sell them on eBay? So what an opening. What an opening to say, no, we are giving them the kids that have needs. I never saw this lady again, but just the opportunity to say, this is why we're sharing, this is what we're doing in this case. Real options. Many of you have gone to the banquet. I pray all of you will consider going to the banquet again next year, because what are they doing? They're helping to save lives. And when we go, when we spend time in these meetings or with people, you can never know how it truly touches them, but it does. And I saw this, and I know I repeat this, but this is one that the Lord really gave me a lesson. It's say, we were in Guatemala, and we've gone several times. And at the end, we usually recap and have a discussion about what we saw, what the Lord was doing. And I had said to the family, now let me back up a minute. So the family is Dr. Otto, and he's a full-time physician who is now going out with us a whole week away from work to see about 100 people a day, preach at night, talk to first the parents and then for the kids, and then drive us around, get us to these villages. So we're going, my God, what a strain on you. You've got to make all of these arrangements with these different villages. You've got to take off work. You're bringing your family. Their son and daughter were both in pre-med. Actually, one was pretty well along in pre-med. And they're here with us. And the son says to us, no, you don't understand. You come and you encourage us to continue this work, because no one in our country is coming alongside. And you will take the time to travel and come here. So we just don't know how people will be affected by just coming, by just being there, by being willing to talk with them and pray with them and spend time. That's the mission's heart that the Lord's calling us on. Gates Recovery, you just heard Kathy speak to the communities of what she called their treasures. Use terms that are saying people that have lost their way, and they have dedicated what they're doing to be able to touch lives. God help us that we would be sensitive in that area. And even to the point of saying, How do we train for that? Are we willing? Because as we've had the various meetings to be able to do this outreach and be prepared, when we talk about you need some training, that's when there's a 180-degree turn and everyone's heading out the door. Training? I have to spend time on training? Yes. Is it worth it? Are you willing to put in that time? Are we willing to put in that time? So thank you for the work that you folks have done with Gates Recovery. Last one I'm going to touch on is community connections, which starts on the 28th. Why do we do this for 6 weeks? In Jeremiah, it's for the community, for the help of the community, for changing the community. So that's why we go out there for 6 weeks. It is not a revival meeting. It is not a open discussion of come to Jesus, but we're looking to establish relationships, to meet people, to help them out wherever we can. So these are the areas that this church, this body has been involved in. And I pray to God that we continue. So the message of all of this is, where's our hearts? Where are we with regard to missions? It is not for those that decide to go off and devote their life in a foreign country. But there are those that do it. And I wanted to share this one I found about missionaries as I talked about them. This is someone who is out on the field. Karen Watson was in Iraq and out serving. And she gave her life in 2004. She was killed by gunshots from terrorists. But her statement was that she left behind for the pastor to read, said, referring to missionaries, cares more than some think wise, risks more than some think is safe, dreams more than some think is practical, and expects more than some think is possible. Now, how encouraging can these words be? Someone who is willing to say, I'm putting my life aside and I'm going into this country. Now, this is not an ask for each and every one. The Lord has to lead each one of us. But where are we on missions? Where are we with our hearts in serving people? Where are we that says, Lord, I have so much. Lord, I've got all of these issues. I've got these troubles. I've got these issues. How can I give more? I don't have an answer for you, but I know who does. So consider what the Lord's calling you to do. Oh, one other that I wanted to mention is what's going on here with regard to schooling for our children. Things are happening in our schools that are totally unacceptable. And perhaps we have not watched and paid attention to what was going on for some time, and now we have issues. But I thank God for people that are coming together and saying, there is another way. But even in that, what we've been praying for within the SVOT group is, how do we also make sure that we do not forget about the poor, the ones, especially the single-parent families that do not have the funds or the wherewithal to do homeschooling or to do private school? How, Lord, how do we begin to touch those areas? Because they're going to be out in society. They're going to be the adults running companies, being in the government, possibly being in churches. How, Lord? But again, the dreaming, as this missionary said, we need to dream in what the Lord is showing us, that says it is possible. We can find a way through God, maybe not in our own intelligence, our own capabilities, but in God, all things are possible. Yes.
Using these. I've been praying for this, you know, that a Christian school would open up in Milford, especially starting with elementary. So interesting that you're all praying the same, something similar. So anyway, what I wanted to talk about, do you remember Comfort from Nigeria?
Yes.
Okay. So just for everybody else, I hosted her as an international student, of which two other families were trying to send her out of the States back to Nigeria, and God arranged it where we met, and I took her in. I had to, like, literally fight with the embassy in D.C. because they were shipping her back. And her mother is a rock-solid Christian in Nigeria, and her mother, like, called me, and she was crying because she couldn't take care of her daughter, who was here. Her daughter was 16. And I assured her, I got her. She's safe. She's in good hands. Well, anyway, Comfort's back in Nigeria, and we have stayed very close, her mother and I and Comfort, through the years, and I've helped them multiple times. But her father died just a few months ago, and I'm bringing all this up because I really, either somebody who is anointed to pray, but her mother is dying right now of jaundice, and I've been fervently praying. But I would really like, I mean, you're talking missions. I mean, this woman needs to be delivered, and whatever has invaded her body has to go. So if somebody wants to pray for Victoria, that would be great, or I will. I don't care, but I wanted us to stand together.
Lord, you hear the call to prayer. And we have been called to being a praying body. Lord, we just lift up Victoria. Lord, remembering that the centurion, as he spoke to Jesus, asking him to heal his servant, and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you come into my home, but just say the word, and the servant will be healed. So, Lord, we're praying today. We're believing, Lord, that you are the healer today, just as you were then. You are the God of all hope. You are the God that we seek to be able to touch lives. You are the God that we depend on and we believe in, precious Lord. Healer Jesus, we pray you touch Victoria today. Dear God, that there'll be some Christian, someone that knows you, that will come alongside and wipe her brow and tell her that she's loved, that she is going to be in Jesus' arms as she recovers. Because, Lord, we're just going to believe on a healing, a miraculous healing for this woman, that she may commit her life to you and that she may be a testimony unto the God of the universe, unto Jesus Christ, to glorify him, to let him know that all is possible in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you are faithful, even in the midst of our shortcomings, of our doubts and our questions. You are faithful, and you are the healer. And Lord, even as we spoke about the 72 that you sent out with power, Lord, bring one or two of those together to this woman, that they may be able to reach out to her, that they would be able to pray with her and let her know that Jesus loves her, and to bring forth healing in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this time, and as we close, I pray for blessings on each person here. Bless their family. Let them know, Lord, that you love them and you want them to be fully integrated into your family, that their love would be so increased in you that they would be able to love others. And this we pray in Jesus' name. One last thing I wanted to mention. I had the privilege of meeting a young man, Ed Michelson, that Neil introduced me to. He's a doctor, he's an MD in UK. He works 2 days a week. The rest of the time, he gives his time to serving missionaries and people in churches in India. But the thing I wanted to leave you with, when he talked about his upbringing, His parents were Christian. And he said they would pray together. They would read the Bible together. But this is the one that grabbed me. They would read stories of missionaries when he was young. The stories of those missionaries captured him. And he's taken that on. So I pray, brothers and sisters, that you that have children, please pray with your children. Read the Bible with your children. Talk to them about how people have given their lives to serve. It has an impact. So may you all have this great impact on your children. God bless you all. Thank you for your patience that there were no booze, although you're more than welcome to do so after the fact. If you have any complaints, see Monique. But thank you all. God bless. Have a beautiful day.